Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, very excited that you're joining me today. My motivational quote today is by Callan Goh, and it says, "Dreams, my mother always told me, represents part of our unconscious, the place where we store the true parts of our soul, away from the rest of the world." Now, dreams. Do you remember your dreams in the morning? Or perhaps you're more like me, and you don't even think you maybe dream at all. We all dream. We might not remember them. So this topic of dreaming is really quite intriguing, and what they mean and how they hold hidden secrets for us, I think, is the cool part of dreams. Now, there are many books out there. Today, we're going to be discussing mindful dreaming with my guest, and I just want to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit. What makes my guest's book, Mindful Dreaming, different? Well, my guest, the author, Claire Johnson, combines the principles of mindfulness with a fresh approach to lucid dreaming. Now, she explains what dreams are and why they're important and how to have lucid dreams, which is kind of cool, and how to transform nightmares and heal the past, and she helps improve sleep quality so you wake up refreshed. The result is a step-by-step guide for understanding dream language, waking up in your dreams, and transforming our dreams to improve our actual waking lives. Claire is the president of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, and Claire and I are going to dig deep into dreams and discuss all the things I just mentioned and how exactly they can improve our waking lives. So tell Mr. Sandman to stand by as we explore this fascinating topic. So Claire, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Connie. I'm so pleased to be here.
Yeah, and this is, I think, a fun topic. And, you know, Claire, the name of the show is Enlightenment of Change. So for me, when I read your book, I love the component that we can use our dreams, and then specifically lucid dreams, to be able to change our lives while we're awake.
Yes.
So that's really cool stuff, right? And heal ourselves and all those things that we're going to talk about. So first, can you do me a favor and just tell everybody, what are dreams? Let's define it.
Yeah. So dreams can be defined as vivid, multisensory experiences that we have while we're asleep. Now, what dreams do, they tell us stories in symbolic language. They tell us stories about how we feel, where we are in our lives right now, what our relationships with others are like, you know, and where we'll end up if we stay on the path that we're on now. Dreams show us, they're like a mirror showing us how we honestly feel about things that are happening, not only now, but also how we feel about things that happened in the past, like past traumas or difficult situations. Dreams also have a very healing function because they release emotions that are too strong. And these dreams emerge from our unconscious mind, which is why it's so important to get in touch with dreams. They're like a movie reel of our own deep unconscious imagery. And when we learn how to work with this imagery in healing ways, we can transform our inner movie and empower ourselves to live the life that we'd love to live. And that's what mindful dreaming is.
So in essence, dreaming is kind of like a release on a pressure cooker, right? Like mm-hmm. you said, if things aren't going well in our life, we kind of dream through it. So it's a release valve for us to some extent. Did I understand that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the functions for sure. And I mean, neuroscience shows that dreaming also consolidates memory and helps the learning process. And when we dream, we are also problem solving. You can imagine it as a discussion with a deeper part of ourselves about a current situation in our life that we're trying to come to a conclusion about. Often the solution to whatever problem we have will appear in the dream. And we can then apply that solution solution to waking reality and help our life to change in positive ways. But the problem can be that because dreaming is so, it works with such symbolic, metaphoric language that sometimes we just don't understand what our dreams are trying to say to us, which is why it's so important to unwrap the dream. And there are plenty of dream work exercises we can do to understand what the dream is actually saying to us.
Yeah, and you, that, I have to tell you, the book I did like, I enjoyed it because of a couple of things, which we're going to get into today. One of the topics was dream paralysis, which my son was suffering from. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Sleep
paralysis. That's what it's called. Yeah. And I didn't even know it was a thing. And then I read your book, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. He this is what he is going through. So that was kind of cool. The other thing I liked, because I don't think that, well, I know I dream, but I don't remember my dreams in the morning. And even if I don't wake up, which is interesting because I have a dream journal in my bedside table. Someone told me, oh, if you wake up after a dream, write it down, and then you could kind of dig in later. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I apparently don't wake up after my dreams because I've never written anything down. So, so I know I dream. I don't think I remember my dreams, which, you know, I would love for that from the problem-solving standpoint. But why, I have to ask another question before we dig into the book a little more, but why do we as humans dream? Do you think that it's a coping mechanism or?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of reasons for dreaming. So they do have this healing function, a very strong healing function. They help us to process what's been going on in our lives. So we process it on the psychological and emotional level. Dreams also have other functions. They can indicate illness in the body. There has been some amazing research into the dreams of breast cancer patients who got a warning in their dreams of cancer somewhere like in their body, in their breast. And this was carried out by Dr. Larry Burke. Absolutely fascinating research. I mean, one woman said that she had a dream that her deceased father was standing in the dream and shouting at her, "You have breast cancer." Wow. Another woman, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a pretty strong, clear message. Another woman felt that she had breast cancer and went to the doctor, and he performed a biopsy but couldn't find anything. And then she had a dream showing her exactly where that little bit of cancer was inside her breast. She went back to the doctor and showed him exactly where to insert the biopsy needle and insisted that he do it because he didn't want to. He said, "No, you haven't got cancer. Just, you know, chill out." She said, "No, please have a look right here." He inserted the biopsy needle, and he went completely pale because he'd found a little lump. And because she'd actually listened to her dream and gone in and spoken to the doctor and insisted, they were able to operate before the cancer became dangerous. So dreams can have a warning function as well.
Just amazing. But the unconscious is really 90% of us functioning, right? The conscious mind's only about 10%. So all of this is going on underneath in the undercurrent, so to speak, of who we are. And if we can tune into, which I thought your book did a really nice job with a lot of exercises, which I am trying them out because I do want to remember my dreams, but they gave some really cool exercises to try to almost prime us for how to open up to the dreams, and then how to get into the lucid dreaming, right, where we actually know consciously that we are in a dream, and then that we could control perhaps the outcomes, but then how to listen to the messaging and all of that. So your exercises were simple. So everybody, the book is really kind of cool because it's simple if you're into this topic, but very insightful. Now, the other thing I liked about the book, for me, I like clarity around the topic. You broke it into five different types of dreams. Can you kind of talk about each of them, and then we'll probably be ready for a break?
Yeah, of course I can. So the five types of dream I talk about in the book are physical, emotional, archetypal, lucid, and soul dreams. And many dreams, of course, will contain elements of more than one of these different categories. So physical dreams, this can be described really simply in that we are always connected to our physical body. Even when we're asleep and we're running around in our dream body having loads of adventures, we're still connected to our physical body. So If, for example, we're lying in sleep and we're boiling hot, we might find ourselves dreaming of crawling through a desert looking for water. Or if we need to go to the bathroom, we'll have one of those really annoying dreams of running around hunting for a bathroom and, oh, there's no bathroom available, and we're panicking and we really need to go. And then we wake up and we realize we have a full bladder, we have to go to the bathroom. So you can see that some dreams are caused by physical sensations in our body. So those are physical dreams. There are also emotional dreams. Now, many, many dreams, as I'm sure you have noticed, have a very strong emotional component. That's to do with what I was saying earlier about dreams helping us to process emotions. And we're bound to dream about things that frighten us or make us happy or leave us with a certain emotional imprint. So, for example, one woman I know dreamed that she was smashing plates in the kitchen, furiously smashing plates, while her husband watched her helplessly. And when she woke up from this dream, she realized it was an accurate representation of what was happening in their marriage at that point. She was furious and he felt helpless. So that's a very quick example of emotional dreams. And as I say, most dreams do have emotional elements. Then there are archetypal dreams. Now, archetypes are universal images or symbols that have been around in all cultures throughout time. And they're also they also involve different characters, different types. So, for example, you have the mentor or the hero or the trickster or the old hag. You know, these are kind of archetypal personalities that that we have in stories throughout time. And these show up in our dreams as well. So it's very, very fun to actually look out for these kind of archetypal characters in our dreams. And some dreams have are purely archetypal, so they transcend the kind of more mundane level of our waking life and reveal something deeper. These dreams often have deep messages for us. An example of an archetypal dream is of a man who dreamed of an amazing cathedral. And he went inside, he saw a hole in the stone floor of the cathedral, and he looked into it and he saw a red devil brandishing a pitchfork. And so this is a very archetypal dream. You know, you've got the symbol of Christian faith, the cathedral, and then you've got this universal figure of the devil. So this kind of dream may not be waking representation. It may actually represent something that's going on deep in the psyche of that dreamer. For example, a spiritual crisis, something like that. So we have powerful religious archetypes sometimes in dreams to grab our attention and say, hey, there's something happening here and you need to know about it. And then there are lucid dreams, which you mentioned earlier, which are dreams where we know that we're dreaming and we can guide and shape the dream if we want to. Although lucid dreaming does not always have to be about control, it's perfectly possible to go with the flow of dream action in a lucid dream without trying to change anything. And lucid dreams, there are different levels of lucidity. But basically, when you are aware of your state of consciousness and you can say, this is a dream, I'm actually dreaming this right now. So you effectively wake up mentally within your dream. That is what lucid dreaming is. And that can be a very powerful way of dealing with nightmares. For example, you come across a nightmare figure in a lucid dream, you can face up to it. You don't have to be scared. You know you're dreaming. You'll wake up safely in your bed and you can ask the nightmare figure, why are you chasing me? What do you represent? Do you have a message for me? So lucid dreaming can be very therapeutic. And then finally, I talk about soul dreams. Now, these are dreams of spirit and soul. They often involve beautiful nature or wonderful light or luminous beings, and there's a spiritual quality to them. Again, these kind of dreams, they connect us with a deeper source and they can give us wisdom about our lives or make us feel cherished. They can be absolutely wonderful dreams to have. I once dreamed about coming round a corner and seeing these two huge columns of blue light, and they had this incredible wisdom and I was completely in awe of them. I stood there and I felt that they were my friends. They were there to protect me in some way, and they were just these deeply spiritual beings. That was a wonderful dream. You wake up from soul dreams feeling feeling connected to the source. So these dreams as well are very important for people.
Before we go to break, the archetypal dreams, am I saying that correctly?
Archetypal, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Okay, so they... I found that one interesting, like the devil, because I would think that that type of dream, you probably would wake up, right? Because it's a little bit more extreme.
Shocking, yeah.
Yeah, very shocking. And then to be able to kind of dig a little deeper with self to say, like what did that just represent? Like what the heck's going on? So that was interesting. Yeah. The other one, the lucid dream, I'm fascinated by. So... if I'm having a bad dream and it's a lucid dream where I mentally wake up and say, okay, this is a dream, it's not real. Excuse me. I can remain in the dream and remain calm. So a little bit of control. Also, you said sometimes you can just be in the dream and go with the flow almost as an observer.
Yeah, or a participant, just a participant who's not trying to control anything.
but while you're in that lucid state, are you able to think about, this is what I see going on, I'm going with flow, and I wonder what that means to my waking life? Do you have that capability?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, often I'm in a lucid dream and I decide to just go with the flow. Like if I'm running down a street, I become lucid. I don't stop running down the street. I keep running down it. And I'm like, I wonder why I'm running down this street. And I'm noticing details. And what am I passing? Is there someone chasing me? Is that why I'm running? Am I in a race? Is that what's going on? What does all this symbolize? And you can actually really think quite deeply about as deeply as you can in waking life, really, about what's surrounding you. It's a very similar state of consciousness to that of the waking state. That's the fascinating thing about lucid dreaming.
It's a really cool topic, and we've all had it. I mean, I know I've woken up in a nightmare, again, mentally. I'm not literally have woken up, and I think, oh, this is just a dream, and I've been able to shift the dream so it's not scary anymore, right? And then you wake up and you think, wow, that was a dream, and I really had control in there. That was kind of weird. So we've all experienced that. I want to take a break, and then when we come back, Claire, I don't know if you've seen this new show that's on TV called Reverie. It's almost like lucid dreaming. It's pretty cool. But let's take a break, and then when we come back, and I would like to start to explore maybe helping people like myself how to recall a dream so that we can look and see how we can use it in our waking life. Because I do think this is a really interesting tool that you almost can't lie to yourself because it's your unconscious taking over. So I love that component.
And why would you want to? Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
There's
an element. It helps you be more honest with yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I love that. So how can we help people be able to do it better, right? That's what really the book helps us do. All right, so take a break and we'll talk about that.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change, Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We're back, and we are speaking with Claire Johnson, and we're talking about her book, Mindful Dreaming, and we're really talking about the five different types of dreams and what kind of each represents from the unconscious or the subconscious perspective. So let me quickly tell you about the show Reverie. It's a computer program, like a virtual program, and people would go to this program or this place, you know, Reverie, and they create a program specific for you. So it could be a trip you took in the Bahamas and you want to reactivate or relive that life. And what ends up happening, though, is some people, the twist is some people don't want to come out of the dream because it's better than what their real life is representing. And then this woman, she's able to actually go into their dream and pull them out, like talk to them logically to pull them out. So it's really, you'll love the show because it's almost like a show on lucid dreaming, right? It just a computer program.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Reverie is the name of it. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I've just written it down. I'll check that out.
Yeah,
thanks for the tip.
Yeah, it's right up your alley. Now let's talk about how can we learn to recall the dream, because there is so much going on that can teach us, Claire, that I think it's important for us to at least try to learn how to get in there and understand it.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, some people are the lucky ones and they wake up remembering their dreams every day, you know, but it is a learnable skill. So the very first thing is to actually want to remember your dreams, become curious about your dreams. What is going on in your unconscious? What's happening now? What kind of wisdom is there, you know, and just be open to receiving that. So setting a firm intention, I am going to remember my dreams. That's very important. It needs to be kind of the last thing you think about as you're falling asleep at night. So you set that intention. And also, we all have micro awakenings during the night. Many times we wake up just very briefly to shift positions and so on. And that is a good moment as well to remind yourself, oh yeah, what was I just thinking about? What was I just doing? Who was I with? How was I feeling? Try and extract a dream even in the middle of the night, because you'll have dreams throughout the night. So that's a good thing to do too. Sometimes if people are having a lot of trouble remembering their dreams, I advise them to go to sleep clutching a pebble or a shell or something like that, and then trying to keep it in your hand all night, which is pretty hard to start with. But if you wake up a little bit in the night, you try and find your pebble again if you've lost it, and just hold it in your hand saying, I am going to remember my dreams. Just keep repeating that like a mantra. Also, it's super important not to wake up to a stressful alarm clock. I think, you know, that's the worst noise ever for me, is that beep, 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 beep. You know, that just all the dreams just, they just, you know, turn tail and run away as fast as they can. Because as soon as you hear that noise, you're back in the waking world. You're thinking, oh, yeah, I've got to get up and get my kids off to school or do this and do that. And immediately you're thinking with your waking head on. And that is what you want to avoid very first thing in the morning as you're rising up from sleep. So I would recommend having a musical alarm clock with your favorite gentle song on it. And then it's every time you listen to that song, that will remind you, oh yeah, that's that song that's helping me to remember my dreams. So you lie there, don't change your physical position in the bed, because we store the dream in our body as well. So don't immediately open your eyes or change positions. You stay still and just think back, what was I doing? Even if all you can remember is a color or a feeling, you write that down, okay? Because that is sending a powerful message to your unconscious that you are interested enough to even write down just a color or a sound. So do make sure you write down anything you can remember of the night. Sometimes at first, all people remember is how they feel when they wake up. They might feel sad or they might feel buoyant, you know? So write down quickly the feeling, because that is often to do with the kinds of dreams that we've had that night. So these are basic things that you can do. And also, if you do remember a dream, then try to come back to it during the day. Just keep giving it your attention and show it that you're interested, because the dreaming mind is a bit like a flower. You know, if you water it by giving it your attention, then it will grow and it will blossom, and suddenly you'll find that it's much more easy to remember all your dreams. It will just start to flow.
It's so interesting. I just, this whole topic, and it's funny, anytime I do a show on dreaming, I get a lot of response. That was a great show. That was so interesting. I had a guest on and we talked about the meanings of dreams, which was cool too. The book, your book is very insightful Yes, you gave a lot of insight at, like, the devil story, right? And the you shared the breast story and the breast cancer story in the book as well.
Yeah.
So you gave a lot of examples, which made me reflect and say, oh, yeah, I'll share one dream that I remember very vividly recently, which was quite interesting. We were in my living room, my whole family, and there were two tigers outside, the father and a little cub. And inside, my family and I were sitting on the couches, and at our feet was the mama tiger and another cub. And I remember thinking, oh, don't move. We don't want to wake up this tiger because they might hurt us. But in the dream, I was never scared, which was interesting. So when I woke up, I, you know, of course, remembered the dream, and I did write it down. And later, like, I just kept percolating on it, saying, what did this tiger, what did that mean? And I looked up what does tigers mean in dreams and stuff like that, you know, on the internet. There's so much information. And I just started to investigate it. And for me, what I think it represented is that everyone in my family, we are all capable of creating whatever the destiny is we want. We're tigers in essence, right? That we'll fight for what we want in our life. And I think it was a dream for me to say, and my one son was just going to go off. My one son was in college, the second one. So I was going to be an empty nester, which was interesting with the mama cub.
Yeah.
And I think it was a message to me that, like, we're all okay. Like, we all know what to do. You can kind of sit back because the mama cub was relaxed. The father was outside. They were lounging outside in the sun. So I think it was a message to me to, like, chill out. It's all good. The kids know what they're supposed to do. These cubs, my little cubs, right?
That's wonderful. I love that dream. I mean, I think, you know, when we dream about animals, this is something special again. You know, I'm like you. I have tiger dreams sometimes. And for me, they're always to do with my creativity and how I have to keep things in balance. And I mean, it's always different for a different person. That's why, you know, I don't really go for dream dictionaries at all. I tend to unwrap the dream myself, which is what you managed to do for yourself as well. But I tell you, it's fascinating the way that animals can represent various things in our dreams, and they give us our own kind of power. So we can empower ourselves by working with our dream animals. And the dream you told me reminded me of a dream. Actually, it was a nightmare that a lady came to me with in one of my workshops. And she dreamed that she saw both of her grown-up daughters lying dead in their coffins.
Oh.
Yeah. She woke up absolutely horrified, thinking this was a dream that meant that her darling daughters were going to die soon. And she was in complete panic about it. And I just asked her one question. I said, oh, what was going on in your life at the time when you had this dream? And she said, oh, let me think. It was a few months ago. And yes, my youngest daughter had just moved out of the family home. So again, as soon as she said that, she realized it was empty nest syndrome. Mm-hmm. This is how terribly sad she felt, almost like being bereaved that her two girls had left the family home. And so when you said empty nest, it reminded me of that dream, you know. And I think dreams like that, even though they're shocking, what they do, they come to show us how we really feel about a situation. You know, on the surface, she was being brave about it. Yeah, my girls have gone. That's great. They've got their own lives. Inside, she felt desperate. She was grieving for them. And when we acknowledge how bad we feel about a situation, we then become empowered to take steps to change it and improve it. And often, we just need to acknowledge, okay, I actually am grieving that my children, my babies have grown up and left home. I'm grieving this. And it's okay to grieve. We can allow ourselves to go through that whole transition. It's a major life transition. So dreams help us to just understand how we actually feel.
And I think you said it, like, she was putting on this brave front of, oh yes, they're leaving and it's all good and they're living their life. And inside you're dying a thousand deaths instead of,
I know.
And it's okay to put on a brave face, I think, especially for the daughters. You never want your kids to feel guilty, right? So that's terrible if you make your kids feel guilty. But for her to be honest with herself, like, I'm putting on a brave front, but this really sucks, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really going to miss them.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got a greater level of self-awareness. And when you have greater self-awareness, more mindfulness, then you can actually make positive change in your life. You know, she was then able to go on and take care of herself, you know, and give herself some treats and perhaps, you know, make a date to meet up with her daughters one afternoon, or, you know, just take little steps to acknowledge, okay, it's a difficult transition, but I'm going to get through this. This is how bad I feel, so I actually need to take care of myself now. Because we often do put on a mask, don't we? We face the world with this mask. Everything's good, I'm coping so well. And your dreams won't let you get away with that. You know, they'll call you up on it. They'll say, hey, actually, no, you're actually really suffering. So you need to help yourself, be compassionate with yourself. You know, dreams teach us to do that.
I love it. Yeah, they call us out. That's so true. It's like, you could run, but you can't hide, right? We have a few minutes left, but I do want to talk about now my son and this, and for the listeners, I had no idea this was a real thing, but my son woke up again. He's now 19. He was probably 18 at the time. And he said to me, I'm having this sleep paralysis. And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, oh, I looked it up. It's a real thing. Because, of course, he went on the internet because they Google everything.
First place everyone goes.
Everyone goes. And he goes, no, Mom, it's a real thing. And he says, it's not dangerous or anything. And he said, at first I was terrified because I would wake up and I literally was paralyzed. I couldn't move. And whatever was happening in the dream or happening to him, he felt he literally had no control. And then he said it happened with frequency that he realized, and I think he was having a lucid dream after reading the book, which you have a chapter on the sleep paralysis. So that was interesting. Yeah. And it's funny, I dog-eared it in the book for him to read because I said, oh, this, you know, you gave tips and stuff. But he actually intuitively knew, I'm dreaming. So it was a lucid dream. I'm dreaming. This paralysis is going to pass. It's not real. And just kind of observe what's going on because I can't get hurt in this dream because it's a dream.
Yeah.
So intuitively, he was able to do that. And you share that in the book, which I was like, how did he know how to do that? That he didn't freak out. And he said, initially he wanted to scream out to us, but he couldn't because he was paralyzed. And then really he kind of worked through it himself. What is that? Where does that come from? Was he worried about something, or what is typical with sleep paralysis?
Actually, yeah. So every time any of us fall asleep, we all enter a state of paralysis, muscular paralysis. It affects every part of us apart from our eyelids, which, as you know, move around in rapid eye movement sleep, hence the name, and also our breathing. We can obviously still breathe while we're asleep, fortunately. So this is a completely natural state of the natural part of being asleep. But the interesting thing is when our brains are alert and we kind of stay very alert while we fall asleep, our body has already entered that paralysis, but we're lucid, we're aware, and then we feel trapped in our body. And sometimes this transitional state involves weird imagery, dark shapes, strange noises, because we're still in this transitional state of consciousness. But if we recognize what's happening, which is what your son luckily did, then we can relax. We know that it's just part of falling asleep. You know, we've stayed awake while we're falling asleep. That's what's happened. We don't have to be scared. And we can work on just staying calm. And that can actually lead us to a lucid dream. It can be a very beautiful experience. So the thing to remember is that you have control over two things in sleep paralysis. First of all, you have control over your state of mind, which is essential. And as your son did, you know, if you learn to relax and say, okay, I'm safe, then you can actually calm down the dream imagery or whatever's going on as well, because dreams are a thought responsive environment. So if we're scared, the dream imagery gets scarier, you know, but if we relax, then things will relax and we can then picture a beautiful scene and then move into that and start lucid dreaming straight off. And the other thing we have control over is our breathing. So if you really want to press the game over button in sleep paralysis, you can actually hold your breath and that will shock the body into waking. Another thing you can do with your breathing in that state is do slow, deep, steady breaths just to keep you calm, because that really helps you just to relax and not be scared. So there are ways to actually enjoy sleep paralysis and use it as an amazing gateway into lucid dreaming. So I think it's fantastic that your son worked all that out for himself. That's great. And yeah, it's totally natural to have sleep paralysis. Many people do. So there's really nothing to be scared of, just all about relaxing and then moving into a lucid dream if you want to.
Claire, I always knew my son was brilliant.
Of course you did.
Of course.
Every mother does.
Exactly. I'm just giggling to myself. So we're out of time, but I would like you to end telling everyone the importance, I think, of really helping, training ourselves is really what I think we're talking about. And that's what the book does. It gives so many beautiful, insightful little exercises to build on so that we can enter lucid dreaming, which is, again, the mind's being awake in the dream, realizing that you're dreaming. And how can people, the true benefit at the end of learning this skill or training ourselves, like you said, we can all learn it. What is the benefit? You know, you talk about a healthier and happier life. You know, mm-hmm. How can that all transpire? Just give some people insight. So again, I hope they buy the book, sure, because it lays it out for them. But really, what would be the catalyst or the inspiration for them to want to buy the book?
Yeah. So when we work with our dreams, we're working with our unconscious imagery. Either we do this when we're lucid in the dream, or we can do it by waking dream work, you know, and I give a lot of examples in the book of how to do this waking dream work to unwrap the dream, because that is another way of bringing lucidity to your deep unconscious imagery and understanding how to transform it. If we learn how to work with dream imagery in healing ways so that we can transform our inner movie to make it more positive, to make it healthier, then we can actually effectuate change on a deep unconscious level. We can get rid of old negative behavior patterns, things that are still shaping our lives today. And when we do this work on the level of the unconscious, then we find that we have outer change. Our waking lives will change as well, because we've already done the work on the unconscious level. So this is why and how lucidity, either in the dream or after the dream through doing waking dream work, can help us to transform our lives. I worked with someone once who had very negative dream imagery. It was a mountain that had poisonous fluid running down it, and it destroyed everything in its wake. He did some waking dream work where he mentally re-entered this very difficult dream, and he sent out love and light in this visualization. And as it turned out, suddenly this whole carpet of spring flowers just sprung up around him, and it went all the way up the mountain. So, and it covered it with this beauty and this life. So there was no more of this poison in there. It just completely transformed spontaneously. And when we do that kind of work, it sounds like child's play, you know, very simple. Why would it change anything? But it actually does change things on the deep level, because you're working with your unconscious mind. And then you're able to release your past much more easily, and you can just help yourself to advance in your life by empowering yourself with visions of health and happiness. It can really make a huge difference, and it can change our lives.
And Claire, it's so easy. Let me rephrase that, because I don't find it easy to recall my dreams, which is what I started at the beginning. But I am starting to incorporate some of your recommendations, like the mantra before I go to bed. If I wake up in the middle of the night, again, what was I thinking about? Oop, I'm going to be open to my dreams. So, well, in the morning, I don't move when I first wake up, and I try to recall, what was I doing? What was I feeling? You know, what was going on before I woke up? So I'm trying to implement them to train myself, which is, I think, wonderful. The reality is, again, and we said this before, 90% of what goes on in our life is caused by the unconscious. We don't even know what's going on. It's this current, this underlying current in our life. And if we could start to peel back and really look deep, it really does help us on all levels. With, like you said, the you know, someone identifying they had breast cancer before it became dangerous and, you know, probably saved her life. So there's so many things that we can use it for. Plus,
it's fun.
This to me is a fun, it really is. It really is a fun way for us to explore that stuff that's underneath us without making it a scary thing, right? So, again,
You can help us with phobias as well. I mean, one woman who was really scared of flying on airplanes in waking life practiced boarding planes in her lucid dreams just to get used to it. And within a few weeks, she was able to fly without fear. So it can help with all sorts of things for waking life.
It's a beautiful tool. The book I found interesting because it was different than other dream books I've read. It gave really, and I like how you kind of talked about each of the type of dreams, and then you gave exercises so we the reader, can start to choose which one to start with, you know, so to speak.
It was a nice tool.
I thought a nice tool in it, and the stories were great. It was a nice book. It was a nice book to read. Very interesting and not deep, you know. It wasn't deep in the sense, it was deep, but not scary.
Not complicated.
Right. You kept it simple for us, you know, novices that don't know how to do lucid dreaming. Guys, if you like more information, please go to the website deeplucidreaming.com. Or if you'd like to speak with Claire or communicate with Claire directly, email her at deeplucidreaming@gmail.com. I will post both of those contacts for Claire on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website so you can find her. If you'd like to connect with me or have a question for me about business, sales, etc., please reach out to my email directly. And you guys know I answer them personally at Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com. I will respond. And also with my business, with my partner, Wisdom Decoded, we're still offering the free communication style assessment. Just go to WisdomDecoded.com. Right on that landing page is your free assessment. You get a little report, and it tells you a little bit about how you show up and communicate in your life. Claire, thank you again for being on and just being such a cool, interesting guest on a cool, interesting topic. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Connie. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, it was a fun topic. Thank you for helping us explore it a little bit deeper and with some great stories. I think that was amazing. So thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and realize that change is possible. And here's yet another example that Claire showed us today on how we can help change and empower ourselves and create healthier and happier lives. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you all for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful, inspired, and lucid week. Enjoy all.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanAssoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.